This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Monday, December 4th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Bill looks to boost ag research. Enlist herbicides can be used in species habitat with mitigation, and more than $1 billion in ag investments pledged at COP28. Bill looks to boost ag research. The House is scheduled to take up a bipartisan bill today that's aimed at fostering collaboration between USDA and the Energy Department on issues critical to agriculture. The DOE and USDA Interagency Research Act would direct the departments to work together on such issues as biofuel development, advanced crop science, biological pest control, and co-location of renewable power projects and agriculture. The measure is co-sponsored by Science, Space, and Technology Committee Chair Frank Lucas and the panel's top Democrat, California Representative Zoe Lofgren. The bill's being considered under a fast-track process that requires two-thirds majority to pass. Now, for more on what's happening on Capitol Hill, you can see our Washington Week Ahead. Enlist herbicides can be used in species habitat with mitigation. The use of Enlist herbicides will not jeopardize the continued existence of 22 different endangered species, but applicators in some counties and endangered species habitat will have to adopt specific mitigation measures to protect federally protected plants or animals. That's the conclusion of the Fish and Wildlife Service, which has released a final biological opinion on Enlist One and Enlist Duo. EPA said in a press release it did not have to, quote, off-label certain counties as it had in January 2022, when it prohibited use in 134 counties because of species concerns. After Corteva submitted a label amendment to address spray drift and runoff, EPA allowed the use in those counties. Also, EPA released a draft biological evaluation on the effects of 11 rodenticides and endangered species. The document is the first step in the interagency consultation process required under the Endangered Species Act. The agency has preliminarily determined the rodenticides should not be applied directly to water, but they can be applied in areas next to the species range or critical habitat because drift is not anticipated. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top quality legal services that achieve cost effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. IID Board approves Colorado River Water Conservation Agreement. The Board of Directors for the Imperial Irrigation District, California's largest user of Colorado River water, unanimously voted on Friday to approve an agreement to conserve up to 100,000 acre feet of water in 2023. The agreement triggers the release of $70 million in Interior Department funding for projects meant to help prevent toxic dust from being kicked up from the bed of drying salt and sea by Southern California winds, one of the Water District's stipulations during negotiations over cuts. The agreement is one piece of a broader agreement between Arizona, California, and Nevada to conserve 3 million acre feet of water through 2026. Bipartisan House members oppose USDA rule to allow Paraguay beef imports. House members urged Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack to halt the implementation of a rule allowing beef imports to resume from Paraguay, which is currently affected with foot and mouth disease, a highly contagious viral disease affecting cattle, pigs, sheep, goats, and other cloven hoof animals. Representative Tracy Mann of Kansas, Jim Costa of California, chairman and ranking member of the House Agriculture Committee's Subcommittee on Livestock, Dairy, and Poultry, and 19 of their colleagues sent a letter asking Vilsack to wait on implementing the rule until a more reliable risk assessment is completed. The letter includes verbiage saying USDA relied on outdated site visits, irrelevant inspections, and inadequate data to overcome these prohibitions. Ethan Lane, Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says all trade partners should follow the equivalent level of safety as the U.S. to protect the reputation of U.S. beef. Paraguay's long history of foot and mouth disease outbreaks and the lack of recent site visits makes importing beef from Paraguay too risky, he says. LaMalfa-Spanberger bill would extend audit timeline for farm credit institutions. A new bipartisan bill would allow the Farm Credit Administration to conduct full safety audits and soundness examinations of low-risk farm credit institutions every 24 months. Currently, the FCA must conduct audits of all farm credit institutions at least once every 18 months. The bill would allow FCA to use its own discretion to determine which ones are low risk and only need an audit once every 2 years. Redundant bureaucratic paperwork wastes staff and constituent time, increases costs, and makes helping people take longer, said Representative Doug LaMalfa of California, one of the lead sponsors of the bill. Representative Abigail Spanberger of Virginia, another lead sponsor, says the bill, quote, will prevent interruptions and delays in their services that farm credit institutions offer to their farmer customers. More than $1 billion in ag investments pledged at COP28. The United States, the Netherlands, and the United Kingdom were among the countries that collectively committed more than $890 million in climate change investments for smallholder farmers at an event at COP28 on Saturday. CGIAR, that the International Publicity Funded Agriculture Research Network, said it had secured the pledges, quote, to accelerate progress against the ongoing global food and climate crisis. With this funding, CGIAR will expand its work supporting smallholder farmers in low- and middle-income countries to shape more resilient, sustainable, and equitable food systems, reduce emissions from farming, and boost access to nutritious, healthy diets. The group also noted that on Friday, the United Arab Emirates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation had committed $200 million to speed innovations for such farmers in sub-Sahara Africa and South Asia. Events are being webcast from the UN Climate Change Conference as it continues through December 12th. Well, here's today's He Said It. We have to take power out of Washington, D.C. and send it to other parts of the country. I'm going to order all of our cabinet secretaries to reduce their agency's footprint in Washington, D.C. by at least 50%. That Florida governor and Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis, as quoted by the Des Moines Register and Associated Press, after DeSantis visited all 99 counties in Iowa and vowed to move part of USDA to the state. Well, that's Daybreak for this Monday, December 4th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.